seen the email that I sent out a few days ago, just reminding you of what our plans were for this morning, we do want to take a considerable amount of our remaining time to pray for our nation in conjunction with, of course, the holiday yesterday. So maybe you forgot about that, but I'll just remind you now that you'll have opportunity in just a little bit to come and share a prayer that you might have on your heart for the nation, a scripture that's on your heart for the nation, anything like that. We're going to open it up and we're going to spend a bit of time in prayer. Before we do that, though, there's just a few other things that I would like to do as we have opportunity this morning. So I'm going to begin by asking John and Sue Ellen Hughes to come up here for just a moment. Now, if you are, come on over here to the center. If you have started coming to Living Hope within the last about 2.5 years, you might not know this young man and woman standing next to me. Why are they laughing? Why did they laugh when I said that? But for those of you who have been here a little longer than that, you probably remember John and Sue Ellen, who have been just a wonderful asset to our congregation. John and Sue Ellen were part of the team that we released to plant a church in early 2013. So that's been about 2.5 years ago. Lifestream Community Church that is meeting in Mountville. So John and Sue Ellen have been a part of that ministry now. But they're here with us this morning, so I just want to take a minute just to pray for them. One of you, tell us what's the next chapter. They're going to be moving away. So,
well, we've known for some time that we were going to be moving to Colorado. Our oldest son and his family live there. The other son's in Minnesota, so we had our choice. Anyway, it wasn't just that.
Sorry,
but anyway, we're building a house out there, and our house is sold, and it will change hands August 10th. Then we'll be getting in our car for a full 4-day drive. We'll head out there and start a new chapter in our lives. And we're looking forward to what God will do with us next. It's quite a journey.
Right. Well. I just want to bless you guys. You've been such blessing to us in so many ways. We haven't seen a lot of you real recently, but many of the men in men's ministry will remember John and his ministry there, and Sue Ellen with just in so many ways the way you blessed us at Living Hope. So I just want to take an opportunity to thank you for that and for your service to the kingdom, and to pray for you for this next journey. So I'm going to stand between you here if I may. Father, I'm so blessed that you continue to move and provide for this couple. And Lord, I know this has been on their heart for some time, and now that you've put them together, Lord, we're within just a little over a month where they plan to travel, to go to Colorado, to settle there, to be near their one son, and also closer to their other son. So God, you ordain the chapters in our lives. You ordain the seasons. You direct them. You set them in their order and in their sequence. So God, we have absolute full confidence that this is the season you have prepared for John and Sue Ellen, the season of moving closer to their sons, and this season of taking this next step. So God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would make every part of this clear to them as it is necessary to be known, and that you would continue to fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they would be used of you there. God, I pray, I'm not sure where they stand as far as a fellowship there, but Lord, whatever you want them to be involved in, they're connected with a local fellowship, serving in ministry, serving their family, enjoying retirement years together, God, whatever it is, I pray that you would just make that completely available to them and pour out your blessing. Pour out your blessing on this faithful couple who have served you and continue to serve you so faithfully. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you. Sue Ellen, I'm going to ask you to remain here while John returns. And then Elizabeth, if you can join us, and then Glenda is coming forward also. And Amy, good. I lost you for a minute, Amy. I wasn't sure where you were. Come on up. What's happening now? I wanted to take an opportunity to just give you a picture of something we've been speaking. Let's come this way a little bit. You're standing up awkwardly in front of that stand there. Give you a picture of what we've been talking about as elders for a number of months now. I made a statement back a number of months ago that I fear that the North American church looks more like an organization and less like a family. And we've been talking about mentoring, spiritual parenting, people for lives connecting, not just in a big group on Sunday morning, but for individuals walking alongside of other individuals, speaking into their lives, just being real with one another. So you'll hear in a moment as the story unfolds why these four women are standing at the front. So let's start with you, Elizabeth. I'll give you the microphone. You're going to start this story for us with your journey and your experience. Just have to hold it to your mouth.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just like that. That's perfect.
I hear it. And it's been years since I stood in front of a congregation. But I am very pleased to share the story about normal Christian living with a supernatural God.
Amen.
It began over 30 years ago. Oh, I need to relax here. It began over 30 years ago. It was the month of May. School term had just finished. And my husband came home from work with a nice idea, he thought, that we could take a vacation to a hunting cabin in Potter County. Now, I do not think that was a very good place to go for a vacation. But I thought about it, and I thought we'd have good quality time for family time and children, and I'd have a good quality time to hear from the Lord for what my next focus would be. We were in the middle of finding colleges and doing all that stuff, and I knew that I was coming to the end of being a full-time stay-at-home mother, and I wanted to know my next focus. So we ended up at Camp Gilgal in Potter County. Gilgal has a story, too, with the Israelites, but I'm not going to go into that. But it was a time of consecration that they took after they covered or crossed the Jordan River. We were there for 2 days, about, and a phone call came in the evening, and it was someone from our extended family that wanted to come up and spend some days with us. And I thought, no, that I can't entertain and get quiet time. But we didn't have the heart to say no, so we said yes. And the next morning I got up and I said, the Lord, I said, this isn't fair. I wanted this quiet time with you. Now I'll be entertaining and doing all the other things. But it worked out, and it worked out really, really good. If you, as I'll tell you now in a few moments, Bill took the children and to the creek, and they went fishing that morning. And I took a chair out in the middle of the meadow and sat in the middle of the cow path. And I said, Lord, I only have 2 hours till our family arrives. I need an answer from you. I wanted it so desperately. But I was reading a book by Catherine Marshall, and I took my book and I started reading, and here she had a story that she told in her book about a time when she was struggling with her son, and she was talking to the Lord about it. And a white dove landed on her windowsill. And I thought, that's really cool. You notice, kids, I'm saying cool instead of neat. I mean, maybe you have a new word now, too.
Oh, that's cool.
I wrote cool in big letters here, so I remember. But anyhow, it wasn't long until a butterfly landed on my book that I was reading. And I watched it. It stayed, and it stayed, and it stayed there, and I watched it, and I thought, what's happening here? And then it flew away to the milkweeds, and another butterfly joined it. And so there were two, and then there were four, then there were six and eight, and I could count them. Till it got to 10, there was a bevy of butterflies there. I could not count at all, but I knew it was something special. But I didn't understand how it applied to my life yet. So when I went home, I did some research, and I found out that they were monarch butterflies. And a monarch butterfly is a symbol of resurrection life. So that pleased me. But I still didn't have an answer of what was going to happen. And then I also was told that it was the wrong season. This was May, and the butterflies migrate in the fall. So that was miracle number one, supernatural. And it was not only the wrong season, but milkweeds don't bloom at that season either. So that cemented it. Then I knew this was something from God, and so I began watching what changed in my life. And I began to notice as I was going around my daily routine, shopping and so forth, I would run into casual acquaintances, and they would begin telling me their troubles. And I thought, that's different. I do that with my friends, but not casual acquaintances. So that was a change. And then I began to notice that the women in the Bible studies were asking, may we come and talk to you? And I said, of course. I mean, that was it. That's a good thing to do. I didn't recognize that God was sending these women. He was drawing them to me. I never had to invite anyone. I didn't. Sometimes I made them ask me three times, because I'd heard on Focus on the Family that that's a good way to do that. Weeds out the ones that aren't serious. But anyhow, they began to come, and I knew that it was a God thing. Where am I at? So these women actually were my butterflies. And it was not an organized church activity. In fact, I'm not even sure that leaders even knew what I was doing. Yet not a one of these women missed their appointments. One even walked through snow-covered roads when cars couldn't go up during a snowstorm. She walked about a mile, maybe a little more, to get to my house. Now that's dedication, and that's also God. When He's in charge and He plans it, He works it so that it happens. And it's not stressful. It was not stressful. Bless me, I learned and they learned. He is so good in that way. Not all of the butterflies came to my home. There were many that were connected by phone, of course. Females like phones. But that wasn't the reason. They lived too far away, or it just wasn't handy. One of them was from York County, and that telephone connection lasted for 15 years till she moved out of state. She had a serious illness, and she often could not sleep at night, and I told her that she could call me at any time, so I often got on the phone at 10 o'clock and off at midnight. But that was okay. That's a God thing, and you're blessed in your heart, even though it costs you something. And these women came now for the last 37 years. Bill and I sat down and tried to remember, because I never kept a record, and there were over 50. And my job for them was to mentor and support them while they grew in learning to live on the other side of the cross. They were all born again, but they needed to learn to live in the finished works of Jesus, and that was the job that He gave me to do. And I would say to each of you that He has the same kind of a plan for you. Not the same thing, but just as a plan that's designed for you in particular. And all you have to do is be open to live with Him intimately. That's the key. Each day. You don't skip because you think you know it all, or that you don't need it, or you're too tired. You must stay in that close relationship, and He'll do something so special, and you'll be so blessed, and you'll have it to tell your children and grandchildren, like I'm doing today, because my grandson's in the service. So that's the butterfly story, and now I'm going to turn it over to one of the butterflies.
I'd like to share my journey. It really started before I knew Elizabeth. It was in 1984 when my pastor's wife took me under her wing. I was a seeker at that point, and churchgoer, but a seeker. And we met periodically, had lots of fun. But I saw something really different in her life that I wanted. And I was born again in May of 1986, and she left my life in 87. I continued doing Bible studies and so forth, and was growing marginally. And then I met Elizabeth. She was attending the church I was attending at that point, Community Fellowship Church, and I saw her wisdom, her knowledge, just something really, really special about her. And that was in Sunday school and Bible studies. Well, one September 1993, I had this really sudden urge. I mean, it was an urge beyond urges to call her up on the phone. And I know now it was the Holy Spirit. I asked her if we could meet. And she said yes the first time.
Wow.
And I know I was crying. I was just so excited. We met every Tuesday for years. We talked, we prayed, we studied the Bible. One particular study we did was on baptisms. It was about the Holy Spirit baptisms and water baptism and many other things in this book. Well, it was January 1997. It was quite a week. I received my Holy Spirit baptism and water baptism that following Sunday. So it was, and it was with her. So it was wonderful. About 1998, I was leading a Bible study on spiritual mothering. So I was really, really involved with this by this point. And I wanted so badly to mentor somebody. And I just asked the Lord, you know, for that opportunity. And sure enough, I got a call from a friend named Nancy. And we had about a year relationship of mentoring. She's still my friend. Then, fast forward, we went in house church ministry. And there I met a young single woman. And she really wanted to meet with me as well. Now, I would say that was more of a prayer partnership than a mentoring. Very spiritually mature. She needed somebody to pray with. So we did that for about a year and a half. Then I started doing something that you can see why in the world she's telling me this. I started going to a gym called Harmony Fitness, and that's where I met her. We were exercising together. There was many, many opportunities to have conversation here and there, and we just connected. Our eyes connected. We agreed upon different questions. So then I started attending Hope, and by golly, both of them, Hope. And that was just really, really good. I knew somebody coming into this church. That was 2010. Well, then September of 2010, the Alpha program started. Pastor Ron had asked John and I to attend that class, and that's when I met Amy. And Amy, there was something really special about that young lady. We connected almost right away. I saw so much of how I was when I was meeting Elizabeth, and that hunger and that thirst for her. It was probably in February of 2011, and we started meeting together regularly. Well, right after that, I mean, like with 2 weeks after that, Linda at the gym asked me if I would mentor her, and I thought, oh, okay. See if I can do two. And I did. With and just joy. Been meeting ever since. Then, of course, Lifestream happened and we left, but that didn't affect our relationships one bit iota. But I did have another encounter. That was Carolyn Hirsch. And I know she attended Living Hope at one point. She now is at Lifestream. And I started a relationship with her almost a year and a half ago. So it's been my joy, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, Sue Ellen said I met her at the gym, and up before until there, and like she said, there was just a connection in our spirits, I guess, that I sensed from the first time I saw her that I thought, I bet she is a believer. And it was just neat to see how that relationship grew. I guess what I'm going to kind of share is kind of what she and John have both meant in my life. As she said, when it was 2010 when we had met, I was at a point in my life where I was dealing with a lot of uncertainties. We had just come through some health issues that my husband had experienced, and after she and John began attending here, it was actually only a couple months later, went through another health issue, and again, just a lot more uncertainties. But looking back, you know, even through that difficult time, God showed his incredible love to us through the healing that my husband Kevin experienced. And that later was confirmed through a word that John had received, a prophetic word that he received, confirming that very healing in Kevin's life. And that just was huge to me because it came at a point in my life where I needed that encouragement and that word. So again, I just kind of saw how God placed he and Sue Ellen in my life for that time, what was ahead in the months and even years following that. Like Sue Ellen said, our friendship continued to grow, and I just really saw her strong faith and a joy in her spirit that I really desired and wanted for my life. I knew that by surrounding myself with someone who was strong in their faith, that could be a huge benefit to me as well with where I was. So I finally got up the courage to ask her. I had thought about it for quite some time before I asked her about a mentoring relationship. She's just been a wonderful friend to me over the past 4 years and much of life together. Been a real time of growth for me, and you've just been a tremendous blessing to me. And you know, as we were sharing about the butterflies, and I'll just share this yet, that the other week I was approached by another young woman from the congregation about whether I would mentor her. I first was like kind of blown away by her asking me that, but you know, it's just neat to see that was totally unprompted by anything that I did or said, and it's just neat to see God straightening it all. And
like Sue Ellen said, I met her at the Alpha class that Pastor Ron held. That was a challenging time in my life. I was going through a lot of anxiety and sleeping issues. Sue Ellen and I clicked right away. She had made a comment that if I ever need to talk to her, just give her a call. Well, there was one night that I had an anxiety attack. I couldn't sleep. It was awful. It was about midnight, and I gave her a call. And it just kind of all started from there. She began mentoring me, and I don't remember if I asked her or if she offered, but either way, we started. And she taught me how to praise through everything, through the hard times, through the good times. And she not only affected me tremendously, but her and her husband John have become kind of grandparents to my children. John had began mentoring my husband, and so our families became family. They affected everyone, and it was just neat to see how that worked. So even with them moving away, they're still family. We're still going to connect, and she has been a spiritual mother to me, and it's been phenomenal. So it was kind of neat to see how the butterflies floated. None of this was planned at all by us, but I got together with Sue Ellen, and Elizabeth became the prayer warrior for the Sunday school class that I was teaching, and Glenda's daughter became one of the helpers in our classroom. So we're all intertwined. So it's really neat to see.
Yeah, Glenda, get the mic. I'm going to ask you a question in just a moment. I just want to say very briefly, this is a picture of family. This isn't a picture of institution. This is a picture of family. None of this was organized. A pastor did not give you a piece of paper. All of you have to find someone or do this or do that or some big speech or sermon or something. This is a picture of family. So one clarification I must make really quickly. Mentoring and spiritual parenting is not for women only, okay? I need to find another picture like this for men because this is happening among the men also. This is very important. But this is what we are asking the Lord to call forth. Glenda said that she had a conversation with someone this week who reached out to her. I heard of another pair of people that have begun talking about spending time together. And I know this is happening far more than just these. A lot of times it's not visible. It's behind the scenes. But Glenda, you said when you were contemplating asking Sue Ellen, you really had to work your courage up to do that. Can you give us just a sentence or two? What were the things you were wrestling through? Like, obviously, there was some nervousness on your part about asking her. And then I'm going to follow that with a question for Elizabeth. But go ahead, because there may be a number of people listening to you right now who are at that exact same place. Like, I don't think I should. I don't know that I want to. I'm really nervous about this. So what were you working through, and how did you get past it?
I think a big thing was fear. Fear of, what will she think of me? Will she want to meet with me? Does she have time to, you know, is it something that she would even want to do? And it pretty much puts you in a vulnerable place because, you know, you're asking, what if she says no? You know, so I think a big thing was fear and just taking that initial step.
Yeah. And too, probably that fear of really opening up to someone and being transparent, and then what will they think of me?
Right.
And so, Elizabeth, you get the microphone one more time. Yeah, I know how much you love talking into that device. So there may also be someone that's sitting there this morning listening to us right now who's saying, if someone were to approach me and ask me to speak into their life, I just don't think I'm smart enough. I don't think I know the word well enough. I don't think I'm old enough. I don't think I've been a Christian. You know, you can come up with a very long list. What would you say to that person that might be wrestling on that end of the relationship?
Well, you see, if you ask the Lord if this is something he wants for you, because it can be a prideful thing for somebody to ask for help. That means they see you as, you know, somebody that can tell them something or share. Second of all, when God's in it, we learn together. I learned a lot of things because I looked and researched for answers for the questions that the women would have. And the only one that I did not care for doing was when they come with financial problems, because they lie to you. They bring it, and you think you got them on a budget, and then they say, oh, here, I found this one. But other than that, everything was, it's so good because it's God, see. I can't put it into words, and you have to just plain experience the joy, like they've been saying, and the peace, and the watching them grow and watching it go on. I have at least a million other stories I could tell about what I have seen in the growth of the other 50, you know, all those other ladies. My husband said they don't need to hear all those details. So if you don't get me started, because I can't stop. It's been so good. I can't express it. I'm so glad I didn't take a career or a college. I was in college. I didn't stay. But that's because I got married and had my own children. You share your life experiences with them. And we are just so much alike at the basic things. And that's all you have to do. And God blesses it, because you can't make someone understand. The Holy Spirit has to do it, and he does it. He's faithful. He got me through it today.
Yeah.
I was nervous about.
And then I would just say one more thing. We were praying about this before the service, and I believe there are those of you in this body who any type of gift that would require you coming up front or holding a microphone or being on the worship or leading a classroom full of people, you're like, that's just not me. I just cannot imagine functioning in that role. But I believe there are those of you here that are actually gifted for this ministry. What you will do and how God will use you will be one-on-one in a coffee shop or in your living room, and that ministry is every bit, if not more valuable, than the ministries that you see unfold in the public gathering. Now, these are so visible, and we think, oh, these people are so gifted, all the things they do. You just see through these few simple stories the impact that can happen when one person is willing to give time to another person and just share life together. So that's family. That's what family looks like. And we just urge you again, if you're at a place where God begins prompting you either to reach out to someone or someone reaches out to you, just really ask if that's something he's calling you into, because that can be a tremendous blessing, as you heard this morning. So thank you so much, ladies. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Move into prayer in just a few more minutes, I promise. There was just one other thing I wanted to share very briefly. Molly and I weren't here last week, but in the theme of praying for our nation, we've done this now for a number of years on the Sunday right near Independence Day. But the timing this year, that something that happened, as you know, at the Supreme Court that got a lot of attention, not last week, but the week before, the Supreme Court reached a decision on this long simmering debate about same-sex marriage, and they issued a ruling that same-sex marriage was now to be accepted across the nation. And maybe a few of you wonder to yourself, now, where does Living Hope stand on that? Not something we talk about every day. And for those of you who've been here any length of time, I imagine you probably know where Living Hope stands on that. But I just wanted to address that briefly. I would start by reading from our Confession of Faith. This is our Confession of Faith. The same language is in the Confession of Faith for HopeNet, the network we are part of. It happens to be section 15 called Marriage and Purity. It simply says, we believe that both singleness and marriage are honored by God, who defined marriage to be the union of one man and one woman for a lifetime. Sexual immorality, immodesty, adultery, and homosexual practice dishonor God's design for sexual expression. That's the quote from our statement of faith. There are some scriptures that go along with that. If you'd like to see that, I think we normally have copies of that at the welcome desk, but we could certainly make that available to you. Just a few of my own comments now. You probably noticed in a lot of the articles reporting on that decision coming down from the Supreme Court used the word redefine, that the judges have redefined marriage for America. In a legal sense, that's true. They have. They have changed the definition of marriage, and they have set a legal precedent now that affects that. But these are times we must remind ourselves that no person, judge, or government has the authority to redefine what has already been clearly defined by God. We have no business of redefining. So I speak on behalf of the elders when I say that we firmly stand behind what we believe is absolutely crystal clear in Scripture, and that is that God designed and defined marriage to be the union between a man and a woman. We are aware that we are at odds with others in society. We are also aware that we are at odds with others in the church, in the broader church, with this particular viewpoint, because there are those in the broader church that are moving away from this understanding. We are aware that this places us at odds with some, but our desire is to use the Word of God as the final authority on all decisions related to leadership, to ministry, to life, to how we live. Having said those things, let me just say a few more. I also want to strongly express our desire to be like Jesus in the way he related to all people from all walks of life, in such a way that God's love radiated from him. Our desire as leaders at Living Hope is to call all men and women to place their faith in Jesus Christ and to join us in a journey of being transformed by the Holy Spirit, to see all the areas of our lives currently under the control of our flesh or sinful desires, to be submitted to God and to allow him to transform us into the image of his Son and to transform us into people that could be called righteous. Our righteousness is through Christ alone, but we want to bring our lives into agreement with what he calls righteousness as well. May the words of Jesus to the woman caught in adultery still ring out through us today. I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. But now go and leave your life of sin. The ministry of the church is not one of condemnation. The ministry of the church is one of transformation. We are all in need of it. We all stand deserving of God's judgment. It doesn't matter what the issue is. It doesn't matter what the sin is. We all stand deserving of God's judgment. So our ministry is one of saying we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. We need to allow him to transform us and to bring whatever the area is in our life that's out of conformance, that's out of line with his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring that in line with his word. To those of you in a heterosexual marriage, this is a time of challenge for us, and this is what I mean. I would ask you the question, does your marriage or is your marriage a testimony to the blessing of the male-female union? Do people see in your marriage the blessings that God intended for Christian marriage or for marriage in general? That testimony, I believe, will continue to bear a lot of fruit if people see that. When people see men and women who can't get along, who are ignoring each other, and who are just basically barely getting by, that's not a good testimony for marriage. Finally, to those of you who are currently either in a same-sex relationship or who find yourself struggling with same-sex temptations, our desire is to come alongside of you, to walk with you, to hear your story, and together seek Jesus and his transforming power in our lives. We do not stand in a place of judgment. We are not able to stand in a place of judgment because we stand in a place of deserving judgment ourselves. All we have to stand on is God's grace. And we extend that to anyone, regardless of what their situation is, what the situation in their life is. So, with that said, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. We're gonna remain in that vein of praying for our nation. We're just going to go back into worship, and we're going to take a block of time now. I know there are some of you that are prepared to pray and who want to share in this time. So we will have the microphone will be laying right here, so you can come up and do that. Let's just pause to begin. I want to begin also with a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, you tell us in your word that we bring our requests to you, but we do so with thanksgiving. So God, I want to say this morning, and I want to thank you this morning for the nation of the United States. I want to thank you for this place that I have been privileged to be born in and have had the opportunity to grow up in and live in. God, the blessings of this country, the blessings that have flowed through our government to us as citizens and to people around the world are very, very many. And God, we don't discount that this morning. We are so thankful for this country and for the governmental system we have and the freedoms we have. But at the same time, God, we come to you and we say we cry out for our nation because we are also seeing many things that are very troubling. And so we come to you and we pray for our nation this morning. And we lift these prayers to you this morning in the name of Jesus. I invite you to stand. The worship team is just going to begin with one song and just kind of reconnect again, reconnect with the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to really control this time. And then when they're finished the first song, then we're just going to make the mic available up here. And anyone who would like to come up and share a prayer with us, we would invite you to do so. Thank you. is an opportunity for anybody who wants to come to share a prayer. We're not looking for speeches or editorial comments. We'd like you to share a prayer or a scripture. So, anyone can come. Who will be that brave person to start us off? That's all it takes, is one person. You can be seated. I'd like the mic here again, Greg, when you're done. Or if you're ready to come on up and just wait for the microphone.
Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for a move of your Holy Spirit in the church family right here. Father, in Jesus' name, we just cry out for a spirit of compassion and courage and boldness to do what's right. And Father, for those that are experiencing a lot of pain and difficult times, I just pray for a spirit of healing in Jesus' name. Healing for brokenness. Healing for those that are in difficult situations. I just pray that across this church family right now, there'd be a spirit of brokenness and humility. May we all look up into your eyes, Lord Jesus, and see your heart of compassion and love toward each one of us. And Father, as we've talked about the family, I just pray that there would be a spirit of reconciliation in our families, restoration. Father, we know that whatever happens, it's all because of you. And so, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus because you are the God of hope, healing, restoration. I just pray that there would be a spirit of reconciliation. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We just pray that for the family, because the family decides the direction of the country. And so we just pray that you would use us as an example of your love and grace as people see us in the world around us. And we just pray for where we live, that neighbors would recognize the love of Jesus flowing through us. Have mercy on us, Lord Jesus. We recognize our weakness, that we know that you are a God of strength. You are the God of that is our refuge. And so we just say, come, Lord Jesus, into our midst. Come into our homes. Come into our workplace. Come into where we shop for groceries. I just pray that there would be a transformation that takes place in this community. Recognize that without you, we can't make it. But you are a God of the impossible. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for those impossibilities in our lives that you're looking at each one of us and saying, yes, I can take care of that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to just drop our burdens at the cross and leave here in freedom. Let freedom reign in this place today.
Real quickly while someone else may be coming, is I invite you, those of you who are able and care to, if you would like to kneel through part of this or all of this, it's just an additional physical symbol of our dependence and our brokenness before God. Okay, who's next?
I just want to read a little bit from 2 Peter 3. Peter says, therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things, and by these things he's referring to earlier in chapter 3, the day of the Lord, about Christ's return. He says, make every effort to be found in peace without spot or blemish before him. Also regard the patience of our Lord as an opportunity for salvation, just as our dear brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you're not led away by the error of the immoral and fall from your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Father, we just come to you this morning asking for forgiveness for maybe judgments we've rendered on others that weren't ours to give. Lord, would you give us the eyes that you have for others? To love others as you love them. To understand their need of salvation and that opportunity that is still available, when so often we probably overlook that. And so, Father, would you just continue to open our hearts to love those around us in just the deep, true way of love, not just people like us. Lord, we're good at that. We know that. But, Father, would you open our hearts to see them through your eyes of love, to love the unlovely, to love those who don't believe what we believe. And may we grow in the grace and knowledge of you more and more, that you would receive the glory. In Jesus' name.
And grace over all of us in America. Father, we ask that there will be no more riots and help people to no longer steal or hurt others.
Lord, help people learn to get along with each other and be nice to each other. As Christians, we ask you to show us who we are, to help and to show, to tell about you. Thank you, Lord, for our hearing prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love of Christ urges us onward, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. Now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything new has come, has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, and God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God, I appreciated the last song we sang and all the names that we had of you up there. The Most High God, the one who helps Abraham defeat all his enemies, all those minor gods in his region. You helped him defeat them because you were the highest, Almighty God that he knew you by. It's like the Almighty Parent. Everything a parent could provide, you were the best at it. Almighty in strength, in encouragement, nourishment. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. Everything. Everything needed, you provide. We just call out you and your many names to blow through this nation and transform us. Because we are nothing apart from you. We are amazed at the life and history we have, God, but we are nothing apart from you. So many of the other names, God, we can think of here, but we're so thankful that your greatest expression is Jesus Christ, who showed us how to live, who was a servant first, who loved people into the kingdom. Those who resisted, sometimes he was pointed with them, but we know, God, many of those turned around and came to you. That was your continual goal, God. Give us the awareness of the ministry, give us a revelation of this scripture, and help us walk out for those who were the same and maybe different from us. Just let your love pour through us. We pray in your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father, I pray as the church, Lord God, that our eyes would be on you. Father, that any scale that would be on them to cloud who we are in you, we just tell that to wipe away in the name of Jesus, that they would be removed by the blood of the Lamb. And Father, that we stand on your word, Lord God, that you are wonderful. Father, no matter what we're looking at to the right or to the left or what decisions the government is making, Father, you are the wonderful Prince of Peace. You are our comforter. And I just pray, Lord God, that we just repent. Father, I repent, Father, in front of my brothers and sisters, Lord God, for my selfishness, for things that I may have caused on my own, Lord God. I just repent. And I say, Father God, in Jesus' name, God, as your child, that you would use me, Father, for the kingdom. God, let us get out of our comfort zones, Lord God, and speak up, Lord God, and be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, you've given us your word. You've given us the sword, Lord God, to cut through, Lord God, those things that have come against your kingdom. God, you got it in control. But I just pray, Father, that we would see that you are in control of this, Lord God, and that we not be moved by our circumstances, Father, but we cry out to Jesus. We cry out to Jesus, and we say, Lord God, just give us that peace, Lord God, and that calm in the name of Jesus. And I'm just going to read that again. Lord, you are, Father, for unto us a child is born, Lord God. You've been given to us. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. We pray for Obama right now in the name of Jesus, and we pray for divine appointments in the name of Jesus, that he would walk, Lord God, even in normal circumstances, that he would walk and just be arrested by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We speak the word over that man. We speak the word over his brain, over his heart, over his emotions, and the blood of Jesus would cover him in the name of Jesus. And those people that are around him, we pray for our Supreme Court, and we tell them that they need to bow in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that they be arrested by your spirit, Lord God, and truth would prevail. We speak truth in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord God, that you have called us, Lord God. You have called us, Lord God, to set the standard. And so I pray, Father, that we stand in your awesomeness, Father, you being our wonderful counselor. You are the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So, Father, we thank you for that grace, Lord, and let us walk into that grace. In Jesus' name.
Father, your word says that we are to pray for those in authority over us, that we might live godly and tranquil lives in Christ Jesus. And Father, we know that it is not them that cause that tranquility or that godliness, but is your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask, as my sister prayed for President Obama, and we look ahead to the future, Father, for the next presidential election, for the next midterm elections, and we just ask, even now, you would be sifting through, you would pick your candidates for those now, as we make decisions on the ground level, the grassroots level, Father, May they not be our decisions, but your decisions. Father, would it not be decisions of the RNC or the DNC or the Libertarians, but it would be your decisions on who is to be raised up. Father, we look ahead for the elections this year, who can be missed because it's an off year, not a presidential year. And we also look ahead to 2016 when we vote in another president. And we ask that you will inspire us. You will raise up the men and women you are choosing to lead our country. Father, and may we listen very carefully to you. May we be very prayerful over the next year and a half. May we come before you again and again and again, because now is the time for prayer. Now is the time for those to put this before you. And we ask that. We pray for any Supreme Court decisions to be made. We pray, and appointees to be made. We pray for Congress. And we pray for the elections this year. We pray for our state government. We pray for our state house and state senate. We ask you make these choices. You make us prayerful for these choices. You inspire us to be prayerful for those who are in right now. In the name of Jesus.
I pray for all those in here or otherwise who are struggling to love one another, whether because of prejudice or whatever the means. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will be their rock and their salvation. Give them the courage. Show them love, even no matter what cost, Lord Jesus. We cannot do this alone. We need you, Lord Jesus. Need you so badly.
So we cry out your name. How should I, God of grace, Lord most high, Jesus Christ? We rely on your grace, not enough ground in praise, Lord most high, Jesus Christ.
In Acts chapter 4, we read, when Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin, they said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. God, I pray for the body, the church body worldwide, nationwide, here at Living Hope, down to our individual families. Let it not be said of those around us that they don't see Jesus in us, that they don't see Jesus in our individual lives or in our families. But may we carry with us, because of spending time with you, the mantle of having spent time with you. God, I truly believe that the moral decay of this nation and the moral decay of culture around us is really a reflection that we as Christians who are called by your name, we are not spending time with you. We are not with you enough, so that the culture around us is saying these people have been with Jesus and that it is affecting the culture around us. God, help us to spend the time with you so that our testimony will be that we are spending time with you and it's affecting the culture around us, like Peter and John.
God, please give our future. judicial branch and judges wisdom in their decisions. Please allow President Obama to know you as his Lord and Savior so that he can go to heaven when he dies and that he will really want to do what you say in the Bible. Help our nation to love the things that you love and hate the things you hate. We, the fourth grade students, pray this in Jesus' name.
Five young men that were in class last week of the fourth grade had additional prayers, and I'll read them as they said them. Please help our nation to fight against all the bad stuff happening in our world. God, we need you. We need your wisdom, power, and to guide this nation. Please protect us from war. Please give President Obama and other government people wisdom to stop the chaos in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing No Sweeter Name.
No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name.
Today, Father, for the spiritual leaders, specifically our church leaders across our nation, Lord. Father, we pray today in Jesus' name that you would give them the courage, the strength, and the confidence, Father, particularly in this hour in which we live. Father, we just ask, Lord, for your help, your wisdom, that we would not shrink back in fear, Father, regardless of what people say or do, but that we as leaders, Father, would rise up, Father, to be the men and women that you call us to be. Father, we thank you specifically for the leaders of this congregation, for Pastor Ron and Molly, and for the elders, Jay and Sharon, and Rick and Laura, Christopher and Mary Grace, and for Kevin and Glenda. Father, we just thank you so much for these leaders, for Mike and Claudia and for Carol Esch and others, Lord, who serve in this congregation. Lord, just pour out your spirit of grace upon them. We thank you for their humble spirit, their humble heart. And Father, we also pray today for those pastors, Lord, who across the nation are discouraged, Lord. Father, facing many battles and many times wanting to give up. Father, we pray today, undergird them, Father, strengthen them, that they would stand firm in their faith. And their spouses, Father, their families and congregations are hurting right now because of pastors, even today, who walked off the platform for the last time in discouragement and giving up the ministry. Lord, just cover these individuals and congregations with your grace, Father. And Lord, as the battle rages in the days and weeks and years ahead, Father, help us to remain firm and steadfast. Lord, even as the culture grows darker, Lord, we know that because of the light of Jesus within us, Lord, that this light will shine brighter and brighter. So for that, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We commit, Father. Lord, I pray that your kingdom, as you taught us to pray, that your kingdom will come and your will be done on this earth, Father, as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Father God, Lord, we come before you today, God, and we pray, God. Lord, I pray first for your children, God. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength, that you would give us strength to be okay with being different, to be okay with not being culturally relevant, Lord. God, you've called us to come out from among them and be separate, God. Lord, that's a hard thing to do. It is hard to not be accepted by the people around you, to have people disagree with you, God. And I pray that you would give your church, give your children the strength to be different, to live for you, Lord. God, this world will change. People will change, God. But you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. It is only because of you that we can call ourselves Christians, God. It's not because of anything we've done. It's not because of the nation we live in. It's not because of the laws we have. It's because of you. And you will not change. You are Jesus. And you always will be, God. Lord, I pray as we see the world around us and the people around us, God, as we see them glorify and exalt in desires and sin, God. God, I pray that it would upset us, God. But it would not make us angry at them, Lord, but that it would cause us to look within ourselves, God. To look within ourselves and see what in our own lives we are still given that place, Lord. What in our own lives we are still identifying ourselves by rather than letting you have complete control, Lord. I pray that we would look in ourselves and that we would call out sin in ourselves, God. That when we see other people glorifying their sin, that we would say, what am I still glorifying in myself? What am I still given a place? God, that we would be focused and driven to drive out sin in our own lives, God. And that as you change us from within, God, that we would change those around us, Lord. God, change can only come from you, Lord God. And God, we do pray for all those around this world, God, that still have not found you, still have not found the freedom in you, God, still have not found the life and their new identity in you, God. We all seek to have an identity. Lord, without you, we come up with our own identity. We come up with our own idea of who we are. But God, you have a greater identity for us. You have a greater plan for us. You have a name for us and identity for us that's unlike anything we know, anything we can ever imagine without you, God. So Lord, I thank you for that as your child and as your children, we have new identities and new life in you, God. We are new creatures in you. Lord, I pray that you would call people to you from all around this world. That as we look in ourselves and we change, God, that they would see that your church and your people and you are different. You have something different to offer than anything in this world can offer, God. And that you would change people and give them new identities that they would identify themselves by, God. Lord God, you are worthy of all our praise, all our glory, and all our honor, God. And we give it to you.
God help us as a nation to feel
fear you and help us avoid sin, and please help the government to make the right choices.
The Lord loves peace, justice, and righteousness. May our nation follow God so we may have a godly inheritance. Lord, help our nation fear you so that we may be a strong fortress to protect the righteous.
Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people.
Psalms 1:17. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, or praise him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
That you hear us when we call. We believe that the government was placed on Jesus' shoulders, that he can bear the burden. We pray today for our government leaders. Please guide and direct them as they make decisions. Help them to make fair choices daily. If they don't already know you, may you place the people in their lives that who can help them. We also ask for your guidance and direction in us as a church body. Guide us in your teaching and let them serve you faithfully. We ask that we would be willing to go and serve you wherever you may send.
Just ask if maybe at least one parent would go and grieve your children. It's been getting kind of long for the workers out there. We're going to continue here a little longer. Team, I'm going to ask we wrap up then with No Sweeter Name, but Wes is here to pray, and if you have something to share yet, please come and do that. I don't want to cut this off too quickly, but yeah, go ahead. Thanks, Wes.
You are good. You are good, and your love endures forever. Thank you for your presence here. Just thank you for this nation. Thank you for the freedom that we have to worship you, to come before you, to honor you, Father. Father God, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. And the places in this nation, Father God, which have become fragmented, Lord. I pray that you would knit us together, not in what works for me or what works for you, Father God, but in radical obedience to your call on our lives, Father. Father, we want more of you. And I just thank you for this body, Father God, for each and every person, Father God, that you would knit us together locally, Father God, that there would be one vision and one understanding. Heart after you, Lord, that you would anoint this leadership, Father God, that you would bless them, that you would keep them, Father God, that you would protect them, Father God, and watch over them. We love you and we thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to worship before you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Friend has asked to share a word from the Lord.
This morning when I came, the first time of praise and worship, the Lord put this word in my heart. I didn't want to share it, but, you know, the Lord is going to make this church, especially the individuals, to be a healing